gasp. "Please," it sighed, raced past her at terrifying speed. "No!" Now she was back over the ambulance, being sucked toward it with tremendous force. She covered her face as she approached the roof, but she felt no impact. For a split second, she saw the paramedic, then her lifeless body. Then there was nothing. "We got her back," the paramedic yelled to his partner. He took a deep breath and wiped the sweat from his face. It had been close, too close. He had almost lost her, but he had finally succeeded in starting her heart. Becca also dreamed. She dreamed of the gray car racing over the top of the hill. She dreamed of crying out a warning, and she dreamed of being too late. It had been 24 hours since the accident. The group had followed the ambulance to the hospital and waited all morning and late into the afternoon. But since Julie remained in intensive care, and since only her immediate family could visit, there wasn't much they could do. The police came and asked a lot of questions. Philip and Ryan were able to identify the car as a gray Escort, but no one got the license number, and oddly enough, no one could remember what the driver looked like. By early evening, Julie's dad had convinced them to go home and get some sleep. He promised he'd call if there was any news. So finally, reluctantly, the group broke up and headed home for some much-needed rest. Between the accident and the showdown at the mansion, it had been a long 2 days. But rest didn't come easily for Becca. Once in bed, she kept tossing and turning. She kept reliving the accident over and over in her dreams. Was it her fault? Was there something supernatural she had overlooked in the mansion? Something that came out and attacked Julie on the street? Why hadn't the car slowed? Why hadn't anyone noticed the driver? The questions rolled and tumbled inside her mind. Each time she dreamed of the accident, she tried to warn Julie, but each time she was too late. She hated it, but there was no way she could help in the dream, and there was no way she could stop the dreaming. Why did it keep returning? Was it guilt? Or was there something she was supposed to see? By 3 a.m., her covers were twisted into a knot. Her T-shirt was soaked with sweat, and still she dreamed. Again the gray car crested the hill. Again, in stop-frame slow motion, Becca cried out. Again, Julie flew over the hood, but this time as Julie turned her head to see Becca, something changed. It was no longer Julie. It was Chrissy. Becca gasped. Now it was the group's sweet, super-friendly airhead who looked at Becca in pain and confusion. The dream shifted and started again. This time Becca was standing in the middle of the road. This time she was struck by the car and sent flying over the hood and toward the windshield.